Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. It is Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. And yes, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Going to be a fun show today. It's a fun show every day. What am I talking about, right? Every weekday at 1 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. We thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. You may be watching the live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. However you're tuned in, thank you so much. But a fun show today because I want to touch on a few topics that are going to go beyond your usual, you know, X's and O's breakdown. We try to bring that flavor to Current Sports every day, really, every show at 1 p.m. And, you know, on yesterday's show, if you missed the Monday edition of Current Sports, you know, we talked about the NBA and how there are some players out there, well, many players out there who are advocating for a shorter NBA season due to the wear and tear that a usual NBA year has on the bodies of these players. Well, you know what? I really wish I would have engaged in that conversation on yesterday's Current Sports after I read the piece, because I got a chance to really comb through this remarkable piece done by ESPN's Baxter Holmes, entitled, quote, "These kids are ticking time bombs, the threat of youth basketball." Because when having this conversation, all of the injuries that we're seeing in the NBA, and a lot of these players are saying 82 games is way too much, it's bigger than the points that I made on yesterday's Current Sports. It's really a systemic problem that I'm going to comb through. And Baxter Holmes, wow, what a piece. I mean, he backs it up when it comes to numerous angles here and really dives into a problem that we have today in youth sports. So trust, you don't want to miss that conversation. Talk about a tease. Also, later on this hour, to usher in segment B, I'll be welcoming the great Jack Ebling to Current Sports, host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network, and also Press Pass on Sunday nights on Fox 47. Jack will join me on Current Sports to talk about this weekend's life celebration of Earl Robinson. Earl Robinson, the man who held down this fort for 39 years before I got here. The man who was such a staple here in the community that grew the sports talk format here in the mid-Michigan area. And one of my mentors, the late, great Earl Robinson, who sadly passed away not too long ago. We will be celebrating Earl's life come this Saturday at Reno's East off of Abbott Road. And Jack Ebling and myself, we will be co-hosting that phenomenal event. So Jack Ebling will be joining me later on this hour to talk about that event this weekend. And then on the back end of the show, as promised, you'll get my thoughts on why Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets will work, despite the opposite opinion that the man behind the glass Connor Mathis has concerning that very topic. And Connor, you kind of let your cat out the bag, and we all know that you're not a big fan of this move. And we'll kind of go back and forth when it comes to that topic, all right? And happy Tuesday to you, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. A little bit tired.
A little bit tired.
Other than that,
late night, I'm good.
Not even a late night. I just couldn't sleep, Al.
Hey, trust me. I have days like that too, man. So I sympathize with you there, man. But I don't know if you saw my Instagram, dude. I went out and played basketball for the first time in like 6 months. And Al Jordan still got it, man. Oh, my goodness. I went out there, and I kid you not, Connor. I was just going out there to put up some shots at my apartment complex. You know, we've got a really nice outdoor basketball court, newly renovated. So I'm like, all right, it's late in the day. I want to get some cardio in. I looked at my basketball in the apartment. I said, why not? Let me just go pick it up. It was like around like 7 o'clock in the evening. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just go put up some shots. So I went out there and I'm just shooting around. And you know what happens? You're shooting around and then somebody sees you shooting around and they want to play. So there's this one guy who saw me and he comes out there. He comes to the court, says, hey, man, let's play one-on-one. So I'm like, man, one-on-one? I ain't played one-on-one. And if I haven't played basketball in 6 months, I haven't played one-on-one in probably about a year. So I'm like, all right, why not? Lit him up. If there's one thing that never leaves me, Connor, it's my jump shot. And I lit him up 10-1. He was a pretty decent player, too. Pretty decent player. And he just kept giving me the J, though. That's the big thing. I mean, he got lazy on defense, and he tested my jump shot. You know, in one-on-one, if you shoot a three-pointer, that's worth 2 points. Everything else is worth one. So I just lit him up and just kept hitting threes. And then there was another guy on the other side of the court, and they wanted to play 21. And ended up winning 21.
Well, how do you play 21? Do you play with the tips get you down to zero?
No. It was only three of us. I hate tips because tips is like, it's like,
Al, that's soft.
Especially with three.
Al, that's soft.
Well, Connor, that's weak because you're playing with three guys, first off. Now, if you're playing with a lot of people, that's an easy way to eliminate people from the game. So it's like, all right, cool, I get that. But three people, I mean, that game would be over so quick playing tips. So we're like, let's just play straight up. Take backs on everything, even if you airball, take backs on everything. And you know how 21 goes. And mm-hmm. I was down. I was start off hot. I was down. Then I went to the line. And how 21 works, for those who don't know how to play 21, if you don't, come on now. It's a classic game. If you're at 20 and you're at the line and you miss, you go back to 15. I love that because I'm a good shooter. So I had 15. They were ahead of me. They both had 17 and 18. I had 15. I hit a jumper to make it 17. I went to the line, hit four straight, bye-bye, I'm out, chuck the deuces, and that was my night. So I had a pretty good night, man. I can still ball. I still got it, man.
I tell you, the last time I played basketball, I was missing layups. I was bad. But Al, I got the ball at the 3-point line, and I shot the best 3-point shooting I've ever shot in my life. I could
really
not miss from behind the arc, but I couldn't hit a layup to save my life.
That is hilarious. Hey, you have days like that, man.
It was weird.
I got a homie like that too. He can't make any layups, but he can shoot. It's just so weird. So, but yeah, good Monday night for me. All right, let's proceed here with our current sports quick hit headliners. All right, just a reminder that the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, night one, every Tuesday and Thursday up until the beginning of August, night one for this week taking place at 6 p.m., Team Freeze taking on Team Citron. At 7 p.m., Team Roots against Team Exclusive, and at 8 p.m., Team Cosmic taking on Team Dimension. So again, three games every single night, every Tuesday and Thursday at the Aim High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan. All right, Joe Bocci and Kenny Willekes earned spots on the Bednarik Award watch list on Monday, which goes to the nation's best college football defensive player. Now, Also, Brian Lewerke, a third-year starter at quarterback, he was not one of those players listed on the Maxwell Award watch list that goes annually to the nation's best all-around player, but he was on the preseason Maxwell watch list last season. Then, of course, he struggled and suffered an injury to his right arm midseason that further limited his throwing ability. So that's why Brian Lewerke isn't on the Maxwell Award watch list. But you know who is? Michigan Wolverines senior quarterback Shea Patterson is on the 2019 Maxwell Award watch list. Again, going to the country's top overall player. Patterson is a returning starter. He threw for 2,600 yards, 22 touchdowns, threw 7 picks last season, had a QBR of 149.9. So Shea Patterson, quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, is on the Maxwell Award watch list. All right, Michigan men's basketball coach Juwan Howard is bringing back a few familiar faces to round out his staff and even one of his former coaches. The program announced on Monday that Jay Smith, who spent 7 seasons in Ann Arbor as an assistant to Steve Fisher's staff, has been hired as the team's director of player personnel and development. Jay Smith, Howard said in a statement concerning Jay Smith, quote, "There are many people who have helped me throughout my career. However, Jay Smith is someone special who I have a deep connection with and utmost respect for. He has such an incredible passion for the game, and his ability to relate with young men is going to be something invaluable for us. We are very fortunate to have him return to Ann Arbor and join our staff." So, of course, Juwan Howard, a player when Jay Smith was a member of that coaching staff during the Fab Five era. All right. The Detroit Tigers, and I really thought they were going to pull this one out. When I was looking at my ESPN score update on my cell phone, I'm like, all right, the Tigers got the lead going into the rain delay. But after that 54-minute rain delay, the Cleveland Indians came out and beat the Tigers 8-6 for the 8th straight time. Yeah, folks. Also an update here concerning the Old English D. The Tigers selected the contract of right-handed reliever Trevor Rosenthal on Monday despite his struggles at AAA since signing with the team following his release by the Washington Nationals. He had a 10.13 ERA in 6 appearances for AAA Toledo since signing a minor league contract with the Tigers, allowing 8 hits, 2 homers, and 6 earned runs in 5 1/3 innings pitched. He struck out 9 and walked 6. All right. I can't wait, Connor. I know you're a big fan of this video game. It's my favorite video game in all of video games. Madden 20 comes out, the new installment of the immensely popular Madden video game, or I should say EA Sports video game franchise. Madden 20 is going to be released on August 2nd. And this is like this has become like a tradition now where the ratings of the players come out like a couple of weeks before the game is released. And you have all of these reactions from NFL players, mostly negative, reacting to these ratings, saying that, oh, man, I should have been a 100 on Madden this year, you know. So I don't know if you saw this, but there's been a lot of reactions out there, including that of the Detroit Lions. Now, the Detroit Lions received an overall team rating of 80 on the video game, 80 on defense, 76 on offense, along with the Oakland Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's in the that's the company that
Bengals already right too high. That's so, too high for the Bengals. They're competing with my Dolphins for Tua this year. Come on.
That's true. But when it comes to a few of the ratings for the Lions, this is how it looks. Darius Slay got an 89. I saw on Twitter that he was not pleased with that. Not pleased at all. Stephon Diggs, 77. Snacks Harrison, a 95. Quandre Diggs, a 77. Snacks Harrison, a 95. I guess that's the highest rating on the game, Connor? 95? Is that the highest rating for the Lions on the game? If we can look that up.
It looks like it is. I'll be honest. I think he is the highest for the Lions.
I think so, because Matthew Stafford is a 79. T.J. Hockenson, 77. KDG, Kenny Galladay, 83. Marvin Jones, 86. And Trey Flowers is an 87.
Too high and too high.
You think all of those are too high?
Okay, Slay is perfect, maybe a 90. Diggs is fine. Snacks is, that's a little high for me, but I'll live with it.
I would definitely give Slay in the 90s, at least a 91.
Trey Flowers is too high. Marvin Jones is too high. Kenny G is right where he should be.
Stafford
is too low.
That's way too low.
He's too low.
He's at least an 85.
And Hockenson's too high. How are you going to put a rookie tight end at 77? Come on now. He's not Antonio Gates.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm wondering, how do they do that at Madden? I mean, who decides the ratings for the player? Do you know? Do you know the process?
I remember seeing a video on it a couple of years ago, and it's they look at stats, and then they... I don't know.
It seems like
it's a team of people, but man, these are all over the place.
Yeah, they are certainly all over the place. But yeah, they have that. The Detroit Lions receiving an overall team rating of 80. Okay, J.R. Smith has been waived by the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA, but likely will not sign with the L.A. Lakers, as it was rumored by many, many sources out there. That's according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The New York Knicks and Reggie Bullock have put pen to paper on a two-year deal worth less than $4.7 million. Also, the NBA is fined Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, $50,000 for leaking information during a Board of Governors meeting per ESPN. The Mavs owner and high-profile businessman received the penalty as a result of divulging the fact that coaches' challenges will be instituted next season. That's a topic that we also covered yesterday. Will be instituted next season while the meeting that ratified the rule was still in session. Reportedly, Sacramento Kings owner Vivek Ranadive was the owner who raised concerns about the leak. Also, although Andre Iguodala is currently a member of the rebuilding Memphis Grizzlies, Shams Charania of The Athletic reports that the former Golden State Warriors forward is being pursued by a number of teams, with the Houston Rockets and LA Clippers considered as the front runners. So interesting stuff happening in the NBA there. And Connor, I had no idea that Mark Cuban was the reason why we were discussing that yesterday. I had no idea that he had leaked that the NBA is going to institute coaches' challenges come next season.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's Mark Cuban, right?
Mark Cuban. He's got the money to burn.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that's a drop in the bucket. $50,000. I mean, come on. That's nothing for Mark Cuban. So, all right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
First and 10 from the 41. Sanders. And Sanders blasting out. And juking his way inside the 15. Barry Sanders on the move again.
Just unbelievable how he gets through these areas. Where he sees this daylight. Where he sees it. Look at him. He froze Felix Wright.
He's got 204 yards on the afternoon. That's a career high.
This guy is incredible. You're watching something very special here. He is carrying the load. And this is about to squash some comeback hopes of the Minnesota Vikings.
Third and 5. Sanders, guess what? Touchdown, Lions. 4 touchdowns on the afternoon for Barry Sanders.
And he is trapped. He is stopped. He should be tackled. But we're not talking about Joe Average here. We're talking about Barry Sanders. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
First Lion to run for 4 touchdowns in a game. What an afternoon for Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders for you, folks. That clip coming to us, a blast from the past, from 1991, in which Barry Sanders led the Detroit Lions to an easy-peasy victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Barry rushed that day, that Sunday back in 91, for 251 yards and 4 touchdowns. Wow. Amazing. And the reason why I'm rolling in that clip as we proceed here on this Tuesday edition of Current Sports is because today is Barry Sanders' birthday. That's right. Barry turns 51 years old today. Can you believe that? 51 years old. Now, it seems like yesterday, you know, Barry was in his 20s dominating the National Football League, breaking record after record after record. Absolutely amazing stuff. And I feel like as time moves on now, Barry, now 51 years old, I believe he has made amends with the Honolulu Blue organization after they sued him, trying to get money back from his contract. We all know that jazz and that drama. It looks like, though, things are being repaired and we're starting to see Barry around town more in the city of Detroit. Heck, we saw him play in the Rocket Mortgage Classic Celebrity Pro-Am. So he's a golfer. Awesome stuff. Barry Sanders, though, and I think this is safe to say, Connor, greatest Detroit Lions player of all time. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's others in that conversation. I mean, Bobby Lane, you know, he led the Detroit Lions to championships back in the day.
Night Train Lane, too.
Right, right.
That was your top three.
Yeah. Calvin Megatron Johnson, of course, he's in that conversation. Yeah. Megatron was unreal. But Barry Sanders was just on another level. I mean, I have fond memories growing up in Detroit, watching the Lions, watching Barry on Sundays just do things that human beings just shouldn't be able to do. And I remember, you know, there used to be this huge mural. I remember this very fondly, this huge mural during Barry's playing days in the 90s that was on the side of, I forget what building it was, but you guys know what I'm talking about, those who, you know, traveled to downtown Detroit in the 90s. There was this huge mural of Barry Sanders running the football that I'll never forget. One of my favorite athletes of all time. But yeah, Barry Sanders, a true legend. And tributes have been coming in all day on Twitter wishing Barry Sanders a happy birthday. The Detroit Lions Twitter account, All-American, Heisman Trophy winner, 10-time Pro Bowler, NFL MVP, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Happy birthday to the GOAT, Barry Sanders. Also, the Hall of Fame, the official Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame Twitter handle, wishing Barry a happy birthday, 51st birthday. And many people out there, you know, weighing in, many athletes as well, weighing in and wishing Barry Sanders a happy 51st birthday. It's also the birthday of, I believe, George Perlis today as well, the former head football coach of Michigan State. And he is it's his birthday today, in fact. July 16th, 1934, George Perlis is 85 years old. So 85 years young for George Perlis. Okay. All right. I want to transition now into a bit of a conversation that we had yesterday. You know, we were debating, for those that didn't listen to the Monday edition of Current Sports, we were debating here on the air whether or not the National Basketball Association should cut down the NBA season from 82 games. And you heard my thoughts on that. I'm saying, okay, these players are just whining for no reason. It's been 82 games for a long, long time. That's tradition. You know, you didn't hear players back in the day complaining. Basically, I said, man up, suck it up. This is the way it's been. I just think you're being soft. And I still stand by that somewhat, Connor, because you took the other side of this. But after reading a piece, did you read the piece from Baxter Holmes of ESPN? I read it front to back, back to front, and I've had at least two conversations now with some, like with my stepdad and my homie Marcel. We've talked about this, and it's really enlightening and very jarring. And I don't know if a lot of parents fully understand, because I know I didn't until I read the piece, fully understand just how crazed and confused those who are in charge of youth basketball here in America are. And I just want to throw out some things to make you think. All right? Because, again, the title of the piece, and please, give it a read. If you got some time, you know, it took me about, you know, like 20, 25 minutes to peruse through and really take in. But again, it's written by Baxter Holmes, and it's entitled These kids are ticking time bombs. The threat of youth basketball. And, it's talk about credible. He really did his research here. He talked to a lot of different sources that put this whole piece in a light that is very troubling. It really is. Per certified athletic trainer Jeff Stotts, who has cataloged the careers of more than 1,100 players since that point, and is considered the most authoritative public resource for tracking injuries in the NBA, check these numbers. In 2017-18, the number of NBA games lost to injury or illness surpassed the 5,000 mark for the first time since the league stopped using the injured reserve list prior to the 05-06 season. Also, per Jeff Stotts, this past year, he has seen that in 2018-19, the league topped the 5,000 mark again. In 2017-18, players who had been named to multiple All-Star teams missed an average of 14 games due to injury. That's the second highest such figure that Stotts has recorded. That figure actually jumped this past NBA season to 17 games. So that's a 3-game increase. Also, according to Stotts' database, the 4 highest tallies of games missed by young players in their first 2 seasons have occurred in the past 4 years. Players picked in the 2014 first round miss 838 games due to injury in their first 2 seasons. I'll repeat that. Players picked in the 2014 NBA first round draft miss 838 games to injury during the first 2 seasons. That's the highest figure that Stotts has ever recorded. In 2015, 637 games, the third highest tally. In 2016, there were 548 missed games. And in 2017, 751 games, the second highest. So we're starting to see this number increase. So, putting that all in perspective, you're probably sitting there and saying, why? Why, Al, are we seeing rookie NBA players come in or sophomore players entering that second year in the NBA? Why are we seeing an alarming rate of injuries happen? Because, again, folks, we did not see this happen in the 90s. We didn't see it happen in the 80s. There is something going on here. Well, this is what Baxter Holmes did. You know, throughout the course of months here, he sat down with many, many people through dozens of interviews, actually over the past 2 years, after dozens of interviews with NBA teams and league officials, current and former players, AAU coaches, parents, youth players, researchers, medical and athletic training officials in and around the NBA, as well as those intimately involved with youth basketball, one possible answer repeatedly emerged. Players are physically broken down by the time they reach the NBA. This is what one NBA GM said, who says his team's injury databases on players entering the draft dating back to decades leave no question that there are more orthopedic issues among young players in recent years. He says, quote, "It is grave. It is very sad where a kid has an NBA body. He's got NBA talent. He's got even an NBA mentality. But he does not have the body that can withstand the rigors of the training and the actual games. Whether it's to get to the NBA or just hold up, it's a tough deal." Here is Dr. Neeru Jayatani, the Director of Sports Medicine Research and Education at Emory Healthcare in Atlanta. He's one of the leading researchers, on youth sports. He's on record of saying in the piece, quote, "Kids are broken by the time they get to college. Kids are broken by the time they get to college." So this is a systemic problem. That is what is being argued here in the piece. And again, there is pretty compelling evidence on a lot of different fronts here. Bottom line, kids are being overworked. So there are a lot of miles on the tire by the time these kids are finished with high school sports and are trying to make that decision to play college ball. And heck, even more miles on the tires if they play professionally. So, you know, what's the difference between now and back in the day? Well, he cites the GOAT, Michael Jordan, who is really like, you know, one of the measuring sticks, not just in basketball, but in all of sports when it comes to toughness and playing through injury and resilience, right? MJ started all 82 games in 8 of his 13 seasons with the Bulls. Wally Blase, a Bulls athletic trainer from 93 to 2000, goes on record in the piece saying, quote, "When the season ended, Michael left and played golf and didn't pick up a basketball again until probably a little bit before training camp in September. He might have played pickup ball with some friends, but he wasn't working 8 hours a day at some gym with the shooting coach." And in contrast to the myth that has grown around him, Blase notes that Jordan didn't treat every practice as if it were game seven. He says, "There were days when Michael would show up, put ice on his knees, go smoke a cigar, and go play 18 holes of golf." That's smart, you know, where in contrast to what we see today with today's NBA athlete, I mean, that athlete is in the gym all the time, working with the shooting coach, you know, lifting weights, you know, running miles, so on and so forth. So also in the piece, a separate 2016 study from Bell and his team found that 36% of high school athletes classified as highly specialized, and that's a big conversation that we're having in today's youth sports, right, Connor? Specialized sports, and whether or not a young man or woman should just be focusing on one sport all year round. So in this 2016 study, Bell and his team found that 36% of high school athletes classified as highly specialized training in one sport for more than 8 months a year, and that those athletes were 2 to 3 more times likely to suffer a hip or knee injury. And this just doesn't stop at basketball. Here's research on specialized youth tennis players and also kids who specialize in other sports. Their conclusion: those who were highly specialized in one sport and played it year-round were at a significantly higher risk for serious overuse, such as bone and cartilage injuries and ligament injuries. How much higher of a risk? And this is the stat I brought up yesterday, Connor. They peg it at about 125%. That is mind-boggling. So what's happening that we're seeing in this piece, this is what Baxter Holmes is reporting on and backed it up with numerous numbers that bring this whole conversation in some troubling light. This is a pretty credible piece. What's happening is that we are overworking our youth. Multiple games and tournaments throughout the week on top of practice, to the point where the bodies of these young men and women are breaking down. And sure, they may be more athletic, because that's the counter argument as well. They always hear this, Connor, you know, oh, they're bigger, faster, stronger today, right? But Dr. Mike Clark, who actually founded a program widely used across the NBA that focuses on movement efficiency and injury recovery and prevention, I love this analogy that he gives in this piece, Connor. He says, quote, imagine a car with a powerful engine, one carefully engineered and maintained for years, but as powerful as that engine has become, the car's brakes and suspension are equally poor. So the car can't handle the stress that its engine puts upon it. All akin to placing Ferrari's top racing motor inside a hybrid while making no adjustments to the car's frame. Simply put, today's players are faster, stronger, and more athletic, the product of years of weight training, speed training, vertical jump training, skills training, but the breaks, the suspension, i.e. their ankles, hips, and core, while often neglected, remain tasked with enduring the brunt of the body's force. Kids are overworked today. And that's why I wish I would have read this piece before we engaged in that discussion yesterday, because this isn't an NBA problem. In a way, it is. In a way, it is. But this is a systemic problem that you know, you can rewind all the way back to when little Johnny or little Susie picks up that basketball and starts participating in youth sports here in America. That has to change. They are overworked. So no wonder why we see players getting injured left and right and players complaining and needing to take games off in the association. Enlightening stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that's why, and that's a lot of part of it is too, is that, you know, in today's youth basketball, if you're in AAU, that's a year long deal. That's not like, say a, you know, more traditional old school basketball league where it's, you get a league in the winter and then you have spring off and then you have a league in the summer and you get fall off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you're basically playing a semi-pro schedule then, or even like on par with a college schedule mm-hmm. for basketball, and sports like that just take a toll on your knees and your ankles, which are two incredibly important parts
right.
for basketball. The other thing too, and I don't know if it was this piece that mentioned it or if it was another one, but another part of it is that they're only one sport athletes. So instead of taking those the off time and pursuing, say, swimming or some other sort that isn't so intense and heavy on the knees and the ankles,
it does cover
they're
that
going
as well.
Yeah, they're going back into the same thing and wearing down the same parts.
You're working other parts of your body if you are playing other sports, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just playing one sport, you're working on those same muscles and putting stress on those same joints day after day after day. Whereas if you were playing multiple sports, you're working out other parts and not putting so much stress on one particular area. But it truly is fascinating. I think this is a piece. Baxter Holmes, an amazing job. I've read it front to back, back to front. Baxter Holmes of ESPN did an amazing job of laying this all out. And it really, I think every parent out there who has a son or daughter participating in youth sports here in America, you have to read it. And it also dives into Kobe Bryant and what he is trying to do with his young daughter, Gianna, who's a pretty good basketball player, by the way. And this is the counter to it, too. You know, if you are the parent of a young star athlete and you're trying to get, you know, your little one a scholarship to a big-time university or just a scholarship period, I mean, it's hard to do that without participating basketball-wise in the AAU circuit. It's hard. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, put my young son or daughter at risk here. But in order for them to get seen by some of the big schools out there and some of the, you know, big time recruiters, I kind of have to do this, right? Because other parents are doing the same thing.
Here's the counter to that is that the AAU circuit, yes, it's all year, but you don't have to participate in it all year. I've mm-hmm. seen plenty okay. of players who do. I'm going to do AAU in the summertime where I can travel and do all this other stuff, and I'll have the opportunity, the time to do that. And then when winter league comes around, they're playing a standard league, or they're playing for their school, which is still a heavy schedule.
It's still a heavy schedule.
It's a heavy schedule, but it's not AAU where there's a preseason tournament, there's regular season, there's a midseason tournament, there's a postseason tournament, additional tournaments and all these other things you have to add on top of it.
And that's the thing, though. The big-time recruits, and the recruits are like the 3-, 4-, 5-star guys, they're participating in that. And recruits want to see how you perform against that kind of competition. Watch At All Costs on Netflix. If you haven't seen that, that really, you know, pulled back the veil of AAU hoops for me and made me kind of look at things a bit different. So, all right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network and, of course, of Press Pass on Fox 47. Jack is going to tell us about the amazing celebration that we have in store for the late, great Earl Robinson come this Saturday morning and into the afternoon. Don't miss that chat and more. We'll be right back. right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Did you see the news about Game of Thrones, Connor? They broke the record for most nominations in 1 year for a drama series when it comes to the Emmys. So congratulations to Game of Thrones. Awesome stuff there. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right. I want to invite right now to Current Sports, a dear friend of the show. His name is Jack Ebling. Many of you here in the Mid-Michigan area know that name quite well. Basically a living legend. Host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network. Also of Press Pass, which you can view every Sunday night at 11 p.m. on Fox 47. Jack, what's up, my man? Happy Tuesday to you.
Hey, I love that stuff you had on specificity of training. My only question is, when do we get load management for sports talk hosts?
I don't think that's a thing, Jack. You know, we just work and work and work, baby, right?
We're in the toy department.
That's right. But you know what, Jack? Of course, we're having you on because we have an amazing celebration in store for the late, great Earl Robinson taking place this Saturday at Reno's East, right off Abbott Road. It's been in the works for a long time. You have really spearheaded this thing and have been the guy in organizing and trying to plan out the speakers and how, you know, everything is going to flow come this weekend. What has gone into all of this planning for you on your end, my man?
Well, I think for everyone on the committee, Al, a lot of love. Obviously, we remember Earl from so many different parts of his career, back to the music days, the taking care of business, 39 years at WKAR. I still say he has seen more athletic events than anyone in the history of Mid-Michigan. He would go to JV games on Thursday, he'd go to varsity games on Friday. He'd go to one or two college games on Saturday. It was not unusual for him to see Michigan State and then LCC, and then he would go see the Lions on Sunday. And one time we went to three games in three cities and two states in one day.
All in one day, in 24 hours, you guys did all of that. Amazing.
We did all that, And we got stopped by the cops twice. And second time, he'd already gotten a ticket. I was driving, and he said, "You're not going to get a ticket." And I said, "Well, I was going faster than you were." And sure enough, you know, we learned a lot about society. We learned a lot about racial profiling. Probably learned more from Earl than any other person that I've known. Sorry if my wife's listening. But you know, we had an awful lot of conversations that started after midnight. And by 4 or 5 in the morning, we had solved all the world's problems.
And that's truly amazing. And you know, I joke all the time with you about how I thought I was a night owl, but you beat me 10 times over, Jack. And, you know, like you just stated, I guess Earl was too. I mean, you guys staying up late at night, just talking about life and sports. You know, that friendship ran deep between you two, Jack. And, you know, I was a part of the broadcast on Press Pass this past Sunday, and you called him your best friend. You know, I'm curious, Jack. Do you remember the first time you met Earl, and how did that friendship blossom over the years?
Yeah, I said, "Who's that height-impaired guy over there?" And, and I'd actually heard him before I really got to know him, but it was like we were brothers from a different mother. We were just, you know, we would talk about anything at any time, and I don't think he had any secrets he didn't tell me, and vice versa. He was someone you could trust. To the nth degree. I just left Tom Izzo's office with Charlie Wilson, and we had a very memorable and somewhat emotional recording that with Tom that we're going to play Saturday over at Reno's East. It is Earl, a celebration of life, and we're expecting a great crowd over there, but anyone who wants to come and wants to relive the memories of WKAR and just hear some great stories, if you listen right now, you can probably hear Earl laughing at all of us.
That is true. So
we're going to have a great time over there Saturday. We've got some real surprises in store, and we can't accommodate all the people that want to speak. We've got about 30 of them. So
Right. And like you said, Jack, I mean, I'm just absolutely astounded at how many people have reached out and noted that they want to speak and give some words of thought about the life and legacy that was and is Earl Robinson. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, man. And real quick, going back to your two you know, the friendship that you had with Earl. What made you guys click so much? Other than, of course, your undying love of sports, what was it about your personalities that made you guys just click?
Oh, I think we both liked a good joke. I think that we could make fun of ourselves as well as each other. But I think that we also had a serious side, and Earl certainly did. His social consciousness was tremendous. Mm-hmm. And he was someone who could look at someone the first time and have a pretty good idea of what they were about, but he was also big on second chances. And we've talked about enough different aspects of Earl's life. We're going to do that again at 4:30 on the Drive with Jack. You did a great job on Team 303, but you're going to be a panelist along with Deshaun Tate. Here's an example.
Yeah.
This is another guy who Earl started on his way, and he begged for the chance to fly in from Atlanta to pay tribute.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, because Deshaun contacted me just after, I want to say a few days after, you know, we talked on the phone, Jack, about doing a celebration for Earl. And I said, hey, man, just wait. We haven't made it public yet, but we got something in store. And like you said, yeah. I mean, Deshaun from here in the Lansing area, you know, he's doing great things at 92.9 in Atlanta as a college basketball analyst, reporter, and producer. And, you know, Deshaun, in talking with him, like you just stated, Jack, I mean, you know, he praises Earl for giving him a shot and mentoring him and yeah. giving him opportunity. And that's just one of the many, many stories that people have about Earl reaching out and helping so many people in the business and, frankly, beyond as well, Jack.
Yeah, selfless is a word I would use to describe him that way. And we're excited that there will be an Earl Robinson Award given out through Michigan State and WKAR with our contributions. And we have that plaque now, which is going to be on display, I believe, in the green room. And there's going to be an individual award given out every year to the outstanding MSU student broadcaster, sportscaster. And that's a spectacular-looking trophy that Larry Cushion Sporting Goods has put together for us. So we've got a lot of things in the works here, and Earl's memory will not be forgotten.
Not at all. And thank you so much, Jack, for again, it's been truly a labor of love. And I just want to say thank you, man, for really spearheading this. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, and I can't wait, until this weekend to co-host this celebration of Earl Robinson alongside with you, and to hear so many stories and so many people share memories on Earl. It's going to be a great time, Jack. Thank you so much, man.
Well, we know you're going to be one of the enforcers if people go more than 4 minutes. All that time you spend at Planet Fitness is going to come in handy.
Oh, hopefully I won't have to flex a little bit. You know what I mean? Hopefully I won't have to play a bad guy too many of the 30 times that people go up there and share thoughts. But again, we're limited to like 4 minutes, right, Jack? Four minutes per speaker.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That'll be the max.
We cut Izzo off. We said shut up, so you can't talk to him.
Yeah, anytime you cut Tom Izzo off, I mean, hey, you know we mean business, all right? But thank you so much, Jack. I can't wait. I'll also be a part of Jack's show later on this afternoon at 4:30. You can listen at spotlightradionetwork.com. Thank you so much, Jack.
All right. Talk to you later, Al.
You got it, man. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Yeah, I may have to play bad guy.
Guest appearance by Al Shug Martin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm going to have to get my Shug Knight on, huh? Just like, no, you, all right, that's it. You know, or you know, I joked over the weekend with Jack's producer, Doug Warren, that we may have to do something like, you know, like at Showtime at the Apollo. Remember Sandman? Used to come on and, like, you know, with the broom and just sweep you off stage if you were whack. I may have to do that if people are going over 4 minutes. So, but it's going to be a great time. Again, folks, this Saturday, starting at 11 a.m., that's when the official program will kick off at Reno's East, just off of Abbott Road. Jack Ebling, along with myself, we will be co-hosting a celebration of life for Earl Robinson as we remember his incredible impact that he had here on the sporting community here in mid-Michigan and just the community in general. You know, a guy who mentored so many, including myself, is going to be a fitting tribute to one incredible man, All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give you thoughts on why I believe Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets is a good fit. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are now in the home stretch of the show. Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass, you have made it well known that you are not a fan of the move that sent Russell Westbrook from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets. Chris Paul is involved in that trade. Chris Paul, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he's not going to play one play in a OKC jersey. I don't know who's going to take that contract, though, because this contract is pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, it'll probably be... The latest I heard from a couple of Miami beat writers is that the Heat would take him off OKC's hand, but they want two firsts with them to guarantee if Mr. CP3 breaks down that they have a little bit of a recovery room.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. So Miami wants him, though. Miami, they're interested, I should say. Miami's interested. Okay. You're not a fan, though, of the move, and I like this move. I like Russell Westbrook in Houston. And, you know, the easy argument against it is that how in the world can two volume shooters, two guys who love to have the basketball in their respective hands, how can they coexist? And I get that argument. And I have to agree with what Charles Barkley said last week about this move. Connor, the only way this is going to work is if Russell Westbrook plays two guard. Harden has to play the point. It's his team. It's his town. Houston, he owns Houston. Russell Westbrook, his personality and his perception of being the man like he was in OKC, that is going to have to shift, which can be a bit weird. That may be a bit weird now because when those two played together, you know, James Harden was coming off the bench. He was a sixth man, and it was really Russ who was the big man on campus back then, right, along with KD. So, you know, and then I saw that Houston actually plans on, this is how they plan on playing these two. Again, this is all rumors, but I guess what I've seen out there reported is coming from some pretty credible sources that did not want to be named. But the way they plan on running this thing is that when Russ is on the floor, you won't see a lot of Harden on the floor. When Harden's on the floor, you won't see a lot of Russ on the floor. And I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I'm hoping that's not the case. I hope that's not what they plan on doing, because I think that if these two can find a way to coexist, have Russ play off ball, where he doesn't have to have the basketball in his hands at all times. James Harden has proven that, you know, he can dish out the basketball in three of the last 4 years. Russell Westbrook or James Harden, those two names have led the league in assist. And heck, actually, you look at Russell Westbrook's numbers, Connor, over the last 4 years, Russ dished out a whopping 10.4 dimes per game, leading the league in points created via direct assist in each of the last two seasons. That's amazing. Russ shares the basketball well, and Harden does too. And that is despite the amount of shots that both of them put up on a night-by-night, game-by-game basis. But when you have a dynamic playmaker and star, superstar, in Russell Westbrook, and you have an opportunity to land a player like that, especially considering the fact that James Harden and Chris Paul seemingly did not get along. There was some rift going on there. They did not get along. The chemistry was off. They didn't, apparently, I saw a report, they didn't talk to each other for like a month and some change, something petty like that. And Chris Paul has been known to get into it with other players and bicker and that kind of thing. But when you got an opportunity to land a Russell Westbrook, who has played with Harden before, and they were able to coexist, now two different dynamics when it comes to their careers during that time. But why wouldn't you at least try this thing out? you know? But I say all that to say, sacrifices are going to have to be made. I think there is a way that both can coexist, but somebody's going to have to take a back seat. And I think that's going to have to be Westbrook in this scenario.
Here's my thing. My reasoning for saying that this is not a good deal for Houston is not because of the Harden and Westbrook element, because that's certainly a part of it. But ultimately, I think those two players are guys that, you know, they want to win. My perspective on this is Houston's title window is closed. The old title window they had before when they had Chris Paul, when they had that good deep roster, that title window is closed. This is an older team. This is a really shallow team when you really look at it. I mean, the best player off the bench is Eric Gordon. Everyone else is either really young.
They just got Tyson Chandler, right?
Tyson Chandler,
Clint,
yeah.
Clint Capela is
also
Clint Capela's
a starter, though.
Right.
But I mean, my thing
is,
thing is, when the initial reports of, CP3 and Harden are not working now, and they're like, we need to bring in something new. What I see with this roster, I don't see something new. With Russell Westbrook, I don't see the needle on the Rockets moving up enough to where they're back all of a sudden in contention, or they're back as like one of the better teams in the West. I don't see that happening with just Russell Westbrook.
There's a few layers to that. I think that, with that being said, the big reason why that statement is true, Connor, is because of what all the other moves that happened in the league. The league has so much parity now, but I still believe that this Houston Rockets roster can be very, very competitive. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You know, P.J. Tucker, Iman Shumpert. You know, you look at Austin Rivers, Eric Gordon, Kenneth Faried. I mentioned Tyson Chandler, Clint Capela. Those are solid pieces that can be competitive on any night in the West. And then you throw in Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I think that the Rockets got better with this move. They didn't get worse.
I think they stayed the same, or maybe it was slight. So I don't see the justification for mortgaging your future off of a meh change.
Okay. Happy Tuesday, folks. See you Wednesday. And be easy, people.